What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm Ryan Downey, and I'm flying solo this evening for a very special episode of Keeping Carlson's Short Shifts. Those of you that are not patrons in our Keeping Carlson Discord may not know, but this is an episode that has been a long time coming. We referenced it a little bit on Tuesday's edition of Short Shifts, but I'm very excited to present what is the culmination of a couple of weeks of research into a topic that I found very fascinating this season, and that is the concept of a 5-game in 7-day stretch. It's something that we have seen sparingly over the past number of seasons, and we're seeing it a lot this year because of the compressed Olympic schedule. A lot of teams need to get 82 games in with a 3-week break shunted right in the middle of it. And so you see a lot of these teams have 5 games in 7 days. Now, whether that is as part of a full fantasy week or spread out over a couple of weeks, I thought it might be interesting to check in and see what actually happens with teams that go through that kind of a busy schedule. What player archetypes tend to do well? Which one should we stream? Which one should we leave in free agency? How do we approach defensemen? How do we approach goalies? So we'll get into all that in a couple of minutes. But I didn't want to leave the Short Shifts news heads hanging because, of course, I know that this is your episode to figure out what's going on with line changes, with injuries and outjuries. And so I'm going to do a very condensed version of the news portion of the podcast before throwing it to myself for the bulk of the content for today. And so, now it's time for the news. Boom, 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 boom. Welcome to the Short Shifts News Desk. I'm Ryan Downey. We begin our coverage tonight in New York City, where many people's second-round pick made his return to the New York Rangers lineup. Yes, JT Miller was spotted skating this morning and returned this evening on the top power play, which today consisted of Vinny Trocheck, JT Miller, Mika Zibanejad, Artemi Panarin, and Vladislav Gavrikov. At one point this evening, Alexei Lafreniere made his way up to the top unit and promptly gave the puck away to Matthias Samuelsson, leading to a shorthanded goal, so I wouldn't expect to see that happen again anytime soon. And if we take the Northeast Regional train down to Washington from New York, we have some injury updates from the Washington Capitals. Justin Sorte sustained an injury in this morning's practice, and there is no update on his present condition. It looks unlikely that he will be able to make his return and build on his strong performance from Tuesday night. Jacob Chychrun also left practice this morning, and similarly, there was no update from Spencer Carberry on his status for tomorrow. Carberry did say that Alexei Protas is getting closer to playing and that he would be asking trainer Jason Serbus about his availability for Friday in Chicago, and told us to not expect Tom Wilson tomorrow against Chicago because he is yet to be cleared for contact or to practice with the team. He didn't rule him out playing in the trip finale in Nashville on Sunday. Staying in the Metropolitan Division, a little bit of a correction from our Tuesday night program. Matthew Darche, the GM of the New York Islanders, said that Bo Horvat actually isn't on the road trip right now and that he is getting treatment at home. He did say that he could join the team on the trip maybe for the second half, so I would expect Bo Horvat to return at some point next week. He is expected to be back well before the Olympic break. Over in Pittsburgh, we did have a huge outjury with Evgeny Malkin making his return to the second line, not as the center this time around. That would be Ben Kindle centering that second line with Malkin on the left wing. I'm going to take my cue from the Pittsburgh Penguins social media team when they announced his return, and I'm going to ask you, what you gonna do when Malkamania runs wild on you? And that's a question that the New Jersey Devils might have been asking themselves tonight, as Malkin did score a power play goal in his return as the Penguins waxed the New Jersey Devils 4-1 this evening. Lots of questions, perhaps more questions than answers in New Jersey. We'll head south to Pittsburgh's hated Pennsylvania rival, the Philadelphia Flyers, where tonight Matvei Michkov made his return after a 1-game layover. He did return and find some time on the top power play this evening, 2 minutes and 35 seconds to be exact. Unfortunately, it all came to naught as the Flyers lost 2-1 against Toronto, but very encouraging to see the Flyers putting their top forward prospect on the power play. If you're wondering who he replaced, Travis Konechny left the game earlier and did not return, necessitating some offensive punch on that top power play. Time for us to leave the Metropolitan Division and head to the Atlantic, where the Florida Panthers were facing the Montreal Canadiens tonight. Paul Maurice earlier today announced that Brad Marchand is day-to-day and would not be participating in tonight's game. And they sure could have used him, too, as the Montreal Canadiens waxed the reigning Stanley Cup champions 6-2 off the strength of an Alexandre Texier hat trick. And Texier is a name that's going to come up in our segment later on, so keep an ear out for him. Oliver Kapanen, the Montreal upstart rookie on that second line, had a goal and two assists, and Juraj Slafkovský had a multi-point night as well with one goal and one assist. He seems to be the straw that is stirring the drink there in Montreal right now, scoring at a point-per-game pace since the beginning of December, and particularly coming on strong in the year 2026, with 7 points in his last 5 games. Moving from Montreal to the team that drafted would-be first overall pick in that 22 draft, and that is Shane Wright and the Seattle Kraken. Not much good to report about Shane Wright, who has 1 point in his last 7 games, but it was a nice way for me to transition from Montreal to Seattle, where we found out today that Jordan Eberle would be a game-time decision and eventually not play in tonight's Seattle Kraken game, which is just starting as I'm recording right now, so I don't have any update for you on how that will look. But I do think it might be interesting to see how the time on ice gets divvied out in this game. Since the Kraken have gotten healthy, we've seen a decline in the ice time for guys like Ailey Tolvanen and Jordan Eberle. That ice time made them so valuable in the kind of end of December, early January times. Not so valuable right now if Tolvanen sticks at 17 minutes per night. So that's something I'll be monitoring going forward. We'll finish off tonight with the Anaheim Ducks, who announced earlier today that Troy Terry would be missing tonight's game. As a result, they clearly thought it was appropriate to throw their lineup into the Boggle game and come up with perhaps the most unhinged lines we've seen from them all season, and I will read them here in full. The first line, quote-unquote, features Mason McTavish centering Mikael Granlund and Beckett Senecky. The second line features Leo Carlson centering Alex Killorn and Ryan Strome. Cutter Gauthier, the top scoring winger on this team this season, is on the third line with Ryan Poehling and Chris Kreider. And we have Tim Walsh making his NHL debut with Jansen Harkins and Ross Johnston on the fourth line. The defensemen look more or less the same. You may not be all that surprised to hear that it didn't work out so well for Anaheim against Carolina this evening, who beat them 5-2 and limited them to only 13 shots the entire game. They did score 2 goals from Mikael Granlund and Ryan Poehling, but when you have that kind of young firepower on your team, this kind of result is unacceptable. So I would imagine we see a change in the lines again. I could go on and on, but I do respect your time a little bit more than that, and so I will now throw it to myself after a short ad break. You are listening to Short Shifts.
The holidays are heating up on Pick 6, DraftKings' newest fantasy pick'em game. Make your NBA picks for a shot to win big cash prizes this holiday season. Here's how it works. Just pick more or less on 2 or more player stats. The more accurate your picks, the bigger the payout. It's the kind of upside you'll only find on Pick 6, not those other pick'em sites, and it's available in most states, including Texas, California, Georgia, and more. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. New DraftKings customers can play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits with code THPN. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer.
Welcome back to Short Shifts. As promised on Tuesday's edition of Short Shifts, I'm back here to discuss the 5 games in 7 days phenomenon, which we are seeing a ton of in the NHL this year due to the compressed Olympic schedule. If you're wondering what I'm talking about here, let me take you back to the December 16th edition of Short Shifts, where we finished the show by discussing the New York Rangers streaming schedule of 5 games in 7 days from Monday to Sunday. And you may recall that I was a little bit lower than Lewis and others on this phenomenon, whether it's worth having players from a team that has 5 games in 7 days. Elon, in his recent Solo Lap Mega Show, backed me up on the idea that in those 5 game weeks, the best players are the ones who shine while the streamer tier players fall to the wayside. You may recall that my evidence for this was from that New York Rangers 5 game week in the 2024-2025 season, where Artemi Panarin carried the team's offense offense with 10 points in 5 games, with the rest of the offense being buoyed by other stars like Adam Fox and Vinny Trocheck. But, of course, us fantasy managers are ruled by two little words, and those words are sample size. And indeed, Derek Dodgson, occasional Short Shifts co-host, pointed out to me that the sample size of 3 weeks, which I discussed Philadelphia's, Detroit's, and New York Rangers' weeks of this 5-7, that 3 weeks is a very small sample size to have confidence in conclusions. Hey, I agree, Derek. And Derek suggested that we should broaden the search to any 5-game in 7-day stretch and see how many more data points are available. Well, ask and you shall receive, Derek. I went back to my old pal John Bruno, who was absolutely integral in creating this content for you today. He provided me with data representing all 5-7 instances in the past 3 NHL seasons, not just Monday to Sunday, but spanning over multiple fantasy weeks. So I will address all of these instances by the end of the segment, and we will have addressed 17 periods where a team has played 5 games in 7 days. Hopefully this will alleviate any sample size concerns. And if you're sitting here and you're saying, hey, Ryan, that's great that you and John did all this work, but how will this help me in the short term? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Edmonton Oilers have one of these 5-7 stretches next week, not to mention upcoming similar weeks from the Los Angeles Kings in week 17 and the Pittsburgh Penguins in your fantasy playoff finals week. And so at the end of the episode, I'm going to be suggesting players based off of this research for you to consider or, more likely, leave in free agency in those weeks. There are also 5 additional 5-7 stretches that span over multiple fantasy weeks to close out the season, so plenty of opportunities for you to make use of this information you're about to hear as the fantasy season comes to a close. So to be clear about my position, it's my contention that in an exceptionally busy 7-day period with only 2 nights off, that players are going to be tired, and that fantasy production will naturally decline. Only the most elite players can sustain such a heavy workload, which is why you see the Artemi Panarins, Adam Foxes, Dylan Larkins scooping up all of the offensive production in these busy weeks. You may even see a few shutouts for the tired team, which was certainly borne out in the sample weeks I presented last time. With that premise, fringe roster players, and using the New York Rangers as an example from December 16th's edition of Short Shifts, Connor Sherry, Noah Laba, Matthew Robertson, those type of players are not worth the ad, even if you do get an extra 2-3 games from them over another player that week. Now, I'm aware that the term fringe player is in the eye of the beholder, and so I'm imposing an average time on ice limit within these weeks to define a fringe player. I'm going to be focusing most closely on players with around 12-16 minutes average time on ice per game in an attempt to simulate a fringe fantasy player. For some extra context, you might recall the impetus for this entire segment was seeing a couple managers picking up the Labas, Sherrys, and Robertsons to try and take advantage of the 5-game week. Each of those players averaged 15 minutes that week, so I think this is a good benchmark for our work here today. For those people in Bangers Cats Leagues and my regular co-host on Tuesday, Louis Ezekiel, I will also be taking a look at whether it's a good strategy to add one of those Bash, that's blocks, shots, and hits, defenders, for the full 5 games. That will cover the ads for Vladislav Gavrikov that I saw in that New York Rangers week, as well as Lewis's recommendation of Braden Schneider in that 5-7 week in December. Gavrikov, for his part, averaged 26 minutes a game that week, which should be ample time to build stat volume in a points league as a Bangers D. More on that later. Elon requested also as part of the segment that I look at backup goaltenders who play 2 of the 5 games, and so I will do that as well. Usually 2 games from a goalie from free agency is a luxury, so this should be fun to look into. Having set our goals for this analysis, it's time for us to set the target for average fantasy points per game in these 5 game periods. We all know that in Kakupful, we typically view the minimum for a roster hold to be 4.5 fantasy points per game for a forward and 4 fantasy points per game for a defender. Since we're explicitly talking streamers here, I felt that was a little high, since a streamer is theoretically somebody that is available on the waiver wire prior to the target week. John and I consulted the data and determined the average score for each position, including forwards at 3.4 fantasy points per game, defense at 2.64 fantasy points per game, and goalies at 5.21 fantasy points per game. Since our target is better than average streamers, I've landed somewhat in the middle of the average of the dataset and the Kakupful replacement level, with 4 fantasy points per game for a forward and 3.5 fantasy points per game for a defender. For the goalies, we'll tackle them on a case-by-case basis, but my thoughts going into this is that you'd be pretty happy with 5.21 fantasy points per game from a goalie on your roster in a streamer week, so let's go with that. With the parameters set, let's dive in, starting with the 2022-2023 season and the Carolina Hurricanes, who we will be talking about a lot today as they seem to disproportionately get the 5-7 schedule. We're talking about their week starting December 17th, 2022, where they had 5 wins, 22 goals for, in an excellent week for the Hurricanes. This is a great week for us to start with because this is the platonic ideal for what you could hope for from a 5-game week with 4.2 goals per game and lots of scoring to go around. The 12 to 16 minute players for this first week we'll be discussing include Stefan Nason, Jalen Chatfield, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, Dylan Coughlin, Calvin DeHaan, Seth Jarvis, and Jesper Fast. Kotkaniemi, Nason, and Fast were the only players over 4 points per game, with Fast scoring 2 goals as a member of the top 6. Normally, Jordan Staal might find his way into the streamer category here. He did play 18 minutes this week, averaging 7.1 fantasy points per game, filling in for an injured Sebastian Aho, who only made 1 appearance in this week. And so, as a result, I imagine Staal was owned by a lot of teams. Where the Bash D are concerned, Jacob Slavin, Brady Shea, and Brent Burns breached the threshold of 3.5 fantasy points per game, with Burns notching 3 assists and significant peripheral points. Shea and Slavin each potted a goal with peripheral contributions as well. Brett Pesce, Calvin DeHaan, and Dylan Coughlin don't make the cut here. The backup goalie this week was Pyotr Kochetkov, who played second fiddle to Antti Raanta only in deployment, as he scored 19.5 fantasy points in 2 starts to Raanta's 13.8 in 3 starts. Raanta's average actually would have been under our established average of 5.21, but Kochetkov, you're looking for that kind of production certainly in 1 week, so we'll call that a win for him. Again, this was the platonic ideal for a week like this, with 3 forwards and 3 defenders in the streamer category that would have returned positive value, and Kochetkov makes this a great week for Carolina streamers, so this is a good benchmark for us to start with and start comparing against. Funnily enough, the Winnipeg Jets had their 5-7 stretch at the same time as Carolina in this week that started December 17th, 2022. It was 3 wins and 2 losses for Winnipeg, so not quite as good as Carolina. 16 goals for a fine scoring week for the Jets. The 12 to 16 minute players under consideration here include Mikey Esamont, Kevin Stenlund, Sam Gagne, Vinny Heinola, Morgan Barron, Adam Lowry, Cole Perfetti, and Dylan Sandberg. And nobody from the forwards on this list reached the mark. Sam Gagne came close at 3.75 fantasy points per game, 2 goals and 1 assist with some shots, but otherwise the scoring, as usual, was carried by Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, and at this time, Pierre-Luc Dubois. Where the defenders are concerned, we had Neil Pionk, Dylan DeMello, Brendan Dillon, and Dylan Sandberg, and none of those guys reached above 3.5 fantasy points per game. Morrissey was the go-to defender for fantasy points in this period. DeMello comes close at 3.25 based on a few assists. We can do, I think, a little bit better than that. The goalies, however, were very exciting for streamers this week. Dave Rittich was on the team at this time, and he had 3 games, likely because of the rotation that they entered the week with. You'll likely remember how strong Winnipeg's goaltending was this season, and both Rittich and Connor Hellebuck were averaging 6.4 and 7.2 fantasy points per game, respectively, in this 5-game period. So Rittich obviously would have been a great pick for you this week to get starter quality production from the waiver wire. So to recap, no fantasy-relevant skaters here, but a fantasy-relevant backup goaltender in Rittich. The third of 4 5-7 stretches from the 22-23 season belongs to the Nashville Predators in this period that started January 11th, 2023. 2 wins and 3 losses with only 11 goals for in a pretty forgettable week for the Predators. The 12 to 16 minute players we're considering here include Craig Smith, Yakov Trenin, Tanner Janot, Cody Glass, Dante Fabro, Juuso Parsonens, Colton Sissons, Ryan Johansson, and Jeremy Lauzon. And of the forwards, only Juuso Parsonens reached 4 fantasy points per game, with 5 fantasy points per game, with an uncharacteristic hot streak for him in this season. 2 goals, 3 assists, and some shots. I'm sure somebody got lucky in streaming him in with his 15 minutes a night, but it was hardly obvious that this would happen, and indeed, this stretch represents a full 1/5 of his entire point total for the entire season, so not exactly something you can project. The defenders we'd be considering on the 22-23 Nashville Predators would be Matthias Ekholm, Ryan McDonagh, Alexandre Carrier, and Jeremy Lauzon. And of this stretch, only Jeremy Lauzon was above 3.5 fantasy points per game, off of the strength of his 15 fantasy points in bash stats alone. I think at this point in the season, he might have been the hits leader for the entire NHL, so I think I'll have to give it to him. Where the backup goalies are concerned, unfortunately, we had a split situation for the backup role with Kevin Lankinen and Yaro Askarov each having a start. Lankinen did turn in 13.2 fantasy points, but if you wanted to fully maximize the value of using a move, you'd want two starts from that backup, so I won't include Lankinen as a win here. The last 5-7 stretch that we will talk about from the 22-23 season belongs to the Ottawa Senators, who won four games and were shut out in their only loss of this week. 17 goals for still a pretty potent offensive week despite that one shutout. The 12-16-minute players under consideration here include Ridley Gregg, Dylan Gambrell, Matthew Joseph, Nick Holden, and Derek Brassard. And only Brassard was able to reach that 4 fantasy points per game threshold by scoring 6 fantasy points per game, 3 goals and 1 assist with minimal peripherals in 11 minutes of average time on ice per game. It's another outlier performance here, like Parsonen, although I think it's less likely that Brassard would have been owned, so I will include him here. He did only pace for 30 points on the total season as a part-time player for Ottawa in his final NHL season, and so this stretch represents a big chunk of his performance for the year. Bash D under consideration here were Travis Hamonic, Jake Sanderson, Jacob Chychrun, and Artem Zub. Nobody close to a 3.5 fantasy points per game, so we'll move on. The backup goalie here was Mads Søgaard, backing up Cam Talbot at this time, and in his two games, only let in 2 goals with 2 wins for 4.5 fantasy points per game. You might be thinking that's a bit low for 2 wins, but he had low volume in one of those wins with only 16 saves. You're still probably happy with that. So let's recap the 22-23 season when it comes to these 5-7 stretches. It seems that the backup goalie would have been a valuable play in most situations, excluding the three-headed goalie situation like Nashville. But Mads Søgaard, David Rittich, and Pyotr Kochetkov certainly provided better than average value compared to the average player in these periods. When it comes to the defenders, only the Carolina D returned the kind of bash value you'd expect with the volume of ice time they had to work with, and we will give a bit of a shout-out here to Jeremy Lauzon for being the hits leader in the league at this time. Where the forwards are concerned, aside from those outlier performances from Derek Brassard and Juuso Parsonen, you only saw value if you streamed from Carolina in their 5-game goal-scoring bonanza. Remember that my hypothesis is the 22 versions of Noah Laba, Connor Sherry, and Matthew Robertson, lower-tier streamer options on this team, would not be worth adding for the 5-game week. So if you added Ridley Gregg, Matthew Joseph, Craig Smith, Yakov Trenin, Ryan Johansson, or Cole Perfetti from these teams in this season, they would have been wasted picks. But does the 23-24 season continue to prove my point? Let's find out. And we start once again with the Carolina Hurricanes, who seem to do really well in these 5-game weeks. 4 wins and 1 loss in their week starting on March 16th, 2024. 25 goals for. This is a year later for these forwards, but we do have a lot of the same names here. Nason, Kotkaniemi, Fast, Jordan Martinook, and Jordan Staal. None of them reached the threshold. Evgeny Kuznetsov, in his comeback season, comes close at 4 fantasy points per game, but given his status as fantasy novelty that year, it's questionable whether he would have been available on waivers for the average Kakupful manager. The top 6 was dominated by the usual suspects, Toivo Teräväinen, Sebastian Aho, Martin Necas, Seth Jarvis, and Jake Guentzel, given this was the week after the trade deadline. We do see some value here again from Carolina's D, which I'm starting to think is just based on the historical strength of their defensive system. Burns, Slavin Shea, Dmitry Orlov, and Jalen Chatfield all cruising past 4 fantasy points per game. Only Pesci from this D-core was left out in terms of strong fantasy point paces in this 5-game week. It's notable, I think, that this D-core combined for 11 goals and 13 assists in that stretch, although their bash numbers did remain strong, as they averaged nearly 11 fantasy points per game off of bash stats alone. Where backup goalies are concerned, Freddie Anderson and Pyotr Kochetkov were the tandem in this stretch, with Kochetkov getting the bulk of the starts. Given how strong Carolina was in this season, it's likely both goalies were on fantasy rosters, but for completionist's sake, Freddie had 2 games and averaged 9 fantasy points per game in his 2 starts, so that is pretty good there. The second of 3-5-7 stretches from this 23-24 season belongs to the Columbus Blue Jackets, who won 2 and lost 3 in their week starting February 28th, 2024. Lots of options here in Columbus for players within that 12 to 16 minute average time on ice. Lots of injuries on the roster, and so they seemed to be spreading the ice time around this week. So in descending order of ice time, Alex Nylander, Cole Sillinger, Kent Johnson, Alex Texier, Kirill Marchenko, Yegor Chinnikov, Justin Danforth, Dmitry Voronkov, and Mathieu Olivier. We were in the throes of Alex Nylander's season at this time, and he averaged 6.9 fantasy points per game based off a stunning 4-goal-2-assist performance with 18 shots in these 5 games, so he's a win, as well as Alex Texier, who just qualifies at 4.5 fantasy points per game off a goal and 3 assists. Cole Sillinger closes out this trio, which honestly carried the Blue Jackets in this stretch, 3 goals and 1 assist for 5.4 fantasy points per game. The rest of those guys, Johnson, Marchenko, Voronkov, etc., some of whom are now key members of the top six, would have been busts. The ice time suggests that the top six at this time included names like Boone Jenner, Jack Roslovic, Cole Sillinger, Kent Johnson, Marchenko, and notably not Sean Monahan or Adam Fantilli, as they were injured at this time. It kind of explains why we're seeing these great performances from Nylander, Texier, and Sillinger, as they were in increased roles to compensate for the loss of those players. So this would have been a great streaming week for Columbus, and I'll give it to them. The D on the team at this time were Damon Severson, Ivan Provorov, Adam Boqvist, Eric Branson, and Andrew Peak. Jake Bean was also there as well. Only Peak reached our fantasy points threshold at 5.63 fantasy points in only 2 games. So if you added him hoping for 5 games, you would have been disappointed. No winners here as a result on the blue line. There was some value to be gained here in the crease for Columbus, although there were 3 goalies featured this week, and so you would have had to decide between Jet Greaves, Daniil Tarasov, and Elvis Merzlikins who was going to get the bulk of the starts at this time. Elvis Merzlikins and Daniil Tarasov both got 2 games each, with Greaves coming in for 1 game and getting absolutely destroyed. I think Tarasov would have been certainly a good option here. With an average of 6.75 fantasy points per game, certainly would have been a good add in a world where Merzlikins was already likely owned. And we're heading back up north to Winnipeg for this last 5-7 stretch in the 23-24 season. And as a side note, it doesn't seem all that fair that Carolina and Winnipeg are bearing the brunt of these busy schedules. You know, we do have a patron in the Keeping Carlson Discord named Chris, whose Kakupful team is named Western Hospitality, and Chris keeps a running tally of no trade lists and how teams use them and how players use them to make sure that they go where they want to go if they end up getting traded. Chris, if you're listening, I think here might be another data point for you. Maybe these 5-7 stretches are known to these players and they just don't want any part of it. Anyways, in contrast to their last 5-game week, Winnipeg excelled in this week with 5 games, 5 wins, still only 16 goals forward with just 3 goals a game for the squad, which at this point was not really known for huge offensive outbursts. The sub-16-minute players under consideration here include Adam Lowry, Mason Appleton, Vladislav Nemestikov, Nino Niederreiter, Cole Perfetti, and Morgan Barron. Barron and Niederreiter come close enough with 4.4 fantasy points per game each, Morgan Barron turning in 2 goals and 2 assists, and Nino Niederreiter turning in 2 goals and 1 assist, with lots of shots for both. Perfetti doesn't clear the bar, but Nemestikov does, with 5.3 fantasy points per game off of 1 goal and 6 assists, slotting in as a top 6 center with Nick Ehlers and Cole Perfetti on his wings. A few more streaming options here for sure than you might expect, but certainly Nino Niederreiter and Vlad Nemestikov were known quantities. Kudos to Morgan Barron, though. The bash defenders we're considering here are Neil Pionk, Brendan Dillon, Nate Schmidt, Dylan Sandberg, and Dylan DeMello, with only Schmidt and Pionk clearing 4 fantasy points per game, with them getting in on some of the scoring this week. Like DeMello last time, Brendan Dillon came close to the threshold, but not sure he would have been worth the hold for all 5 games, especially with the bulk of his fantasy points coming on assists rather than on peripherals. And where the goalies are concerned, you can basically copy and paste my answer about Riddick and Hellebuck, but replace Riddick with Laurent Brossoit. Both goalies were nearly 10 fantasy points per game, and Brossoit gets 2 of those starts, so that makes him a win. So we've added 3 more weeks of data from the 23-24 season, and the picture comes into sharper focus here. The backup goalies remain excellent plays, with Laurent Brossoit, Daniil Tarasov, and Freddie Anderson turning in better than average to excellent performances, if I must say myself. I'm inclined to exclude Carolina's bash D from consideration, but you absolutely have to give them credit, especially since they get the bulk of these tough schedules and still overperform the average defender considerably. We see a few more exciting forward streamers here, particularly Columbus's trio of Nylander, Sillinger, and Texier, and the Winnipeg trio of Morgan Barron, Nino Niederreiter, and Vlad Nemestikov. Setting aside names like Alex Texier and Cole Sillinger, who were filling in the top six on an injury-depleted Columbus team, Morgan Barron is the only name here that jumps out as one of those names that you could compare with a Noah Laba or a Connor Sherry. Morgan Barron did average 4.35 fantasy points per game off of 2 goals and 1 assist. Everyone else we talked about would be players that you would look to pick up in any standard 4-game week, like a Nino Niederreiter, a Vlad Nemestikov, an Evgeny Kuznetsov. That's certainly a good move, I would say. Adding a guy like a Juuso Pärssinen or a Derek Brassard would be a hope play compared to a Niederreiter or a Nemestikov. And so if we include those two guys with Barron, we're looking at a low hit rate for that tier of player compared to the volume of that type of player that was available on all of these teams. After discussing 2 years of data here, I'm feeling a little parched, and so I'm going to take a quick water break. You're listening to Short Shifts. Welcome back to Short Shifts, and the relentless march of time continues on with the 24-25 season, looking at these 5 games in 7-day stretches. And believe it or not, here we are again, starting things off with the Carolina Hurricanes. Another checkpoint for Chris in his no-trade clause conversation. Carolina wasn't perfect this time with 3 wins and 2 losses and a lower-than-usual scoring output, helped along by one game where they were absolutely shut out by the Minnesota Wild. A lot of the same names here that we've mentioned already with Jack Roslovic, Eric Robinson, Jack Drury, Jackson Blake, and Sean Walker joining the team this year, in addition to Jordan Martinook, Martin Natchez, Jordan Staal, Andrei Svechnikov. Man, Carolina, not a surprise to anyone, but they do tend to spread the ice time out a lot. Anyways, from this group, only Jordan Staal comes over the top with 8 fantasy points per game. And yes, if you're wondering, this was the Jordan Staal hat trick game against the Maple Leafs. And so, yes, we'll consider Jordan Staal a winner here. This time around, the defense was not quite as potent from a fantasy point standpoint. Some of the usual names, Brent Burns, Jacob Slavin, Jalen Chatfield, but a few new ones thrown in there as well, with Sean Walker, Ty Smith, and William Carrier all failing to reach the threshold. The only Canes D from this time period to reach the threshold of 3.5 fantasy points per game was Dmitry Orlov, coming in at 3.95 fantasy points per game, off of 3 assists and some shots and blocks. Kochetkov was the starter at this time with Dustin Tokarski as the backup. Tokarski with 2 wins and 30 saves combined in his 2 games. Classic Carolina shot volume, eh? Plus only 3 goals against makes him a win at 6.75 fantasy points per game. The second of 3 5-game in 7-day stretches we're going to be looking at belongs to the Anaheim Ducks, who on their week starting December 28th had 3 wins and 2 losses for 15 goals for. You may recall that this is the Greg Cronin Anaheim Ducks, and so this was a team that was relying pretty heavily on their veterans, with Troy Terry, Ryan Strom, Frankie Vetrano, Robbie Fabry, and Alex Killorn getting the bulk of the ice time, leaving us with actually only 4 relevant players for our discussion for the Anaheim Ducks, that being Leo Carlson, Mason McTavish, Cutter Gauthier, and Isaac Lundestrom. The rest of the players on the team, at least from the forward standpoint, were under the threshold of ice time, so you're seeing a team that's relying very heavily on these veterans. Mason McTavish was the only player who came close to our 4.5 fantasy points threshold at 4.25 per game off of 1 goal, 1 assist, and a remarkable 18 shots. The Bash D, we had Jackson Lacombe, Jacob Truva, Brian Dumoulin, Olin Zellweger, Drew Helison, and Radko Gudas as the decor this time, and only Gudas and Lacombe hit the mark. Lacombe at this time of the season was in the midst of his breakout and was definitely not available to you at the end of December last season. Radko Gudas would have been a good add for you here from free agency. For the goalies, we did have Gibson getting 1 game to Dustal's 4, and despite letting in more goals than he should have, came away with the win and 6.6 fantasy points. Again, a good spot start, but not quite what we're looking for in a 5-game week, so we'll move on. If you go back a week earlier, you have probably the worst performance in a 5-game in 7-week that I saw the entire time doing this analysis, with the St. Louis Blues having a horrific week from December 14th to December 20th. Only 7 goals scored, so we can speed through this one. Not one forward in the target players, including Texier, Joseph, Radek Faksa, Sundqvist, Toropchenko, Saad, Bolduc. I mean, I could just go down the list. Even the top six didn't hit 4.5 fantasy points per game here. So any St. Louis Blues forwards added this week for 5 and 7 probably would have been dropped early on. Still nobody from the Bash defenders. With a week this bad, couldn't you expect the opponents would have the puck a lot and make themselves targets for hits? Or maybe we have shots contributing to block shots from these defensemen. Colton Pareko, Justin Falk, Cam Fowler, Philip Roberg, Scott Perunovic, they all made themselves hard to hit, didn't throw the body that much. Nobody even came close to even 2.5 fantasy points per game. And the goalies Hofer and Bennington performed about as well as they have this season, so we can move on. This week actually very closely resembles some of the weeks in the 2023 season I mentioned on the last episode. The Flyers and Red Wings weeks where each team scored between 9 and 14 goals, and the goals that were scored by key players on the team like Dylan Larkin. None of the goalies in those matchups, including names like Carter Hart, Felix Sandstrom, Sammy Eriksson, Ville Husso, Magnus Hellberg, came even close to an average performance. If not for another outlier performance from Jordan Staal, who isn't that crazy deep on your waiver wire, the 24-25 season was a complete dud for these five game weeks from forward through to the defense and the goalies. As we move towards the current season, which features a lot of these five game weeks, the takeaway appears to be that some Bash D on good teams like Carolina would be good options, and that backup goaltenders are worth a shot more often than not. If you're streaming forwards based on this information, you would be going for known quantities like Nino Niederreiter, Vlad Nemestikov, Jordan Staal, Mason McTavish, or injury replacements like Alex Nylander and Cole Sillinger. You might have gotten lucky and hoped and prayed to hit on an outlier like Kevin Hayes, Derek Brassard, or Juuso Parsonen as well. As I mentioned up top, the 2025-2026 season has an Olympic schedule shunted in to the middle of it, so that has necessitated a more compact schedule. And so we do have data to parse from this season as well. St. Louis in early December, as well as the recent Monday to Sunday five-game weeks from the New York Rangers and Carolina Hurricanes. Let's start with St. Louis, who actually had a better go around in the 2025 version of their five-game week. They went 3-2 with 13 goals for. Three games, though, with two goals or fewer, so not a whole lot of scoring to go around. The forwards under consideration here were Jake Neighbors, Braden Schenn, and Robbie Fabry, who we discussed a few weeks ago on short shifts. Fabry cleared the limit in only two games of that five-game week, so he won't count. But Jake Neighbors and Braden Schenn both clear the mark with 5.1 and 4.6 fantasy points per game, respectively. They would have been good streams. Again, known quantities. If you'd added Pius Suter, Matthew Joseph, Oscar Sundqvist, Dalibor Dvorsky, or Nick Bjugstad, you would have been disappointed with your return. The aforementioned quartet of Broberg, Pareko, Falk, and Fowler ate up all the ice time, with each player averaging over 21 minutes, likely so the Blues could avoid having to play Logan Mailloux more than necessary. With all of this ice time, the best performance we saw was Colton Pareko at 3.8 fantasy points per game, followed closely by Falk at 3.7. These are above our target and count as wins for the Bash D, and are known qualities like quantities like Radko Gudas, who we mentioned earlier, so who knows if they would have been available in all leagues, but I'll count them here anyways. For the goalies, Bennington got two games to Hofer's three. Hofer would have been a decent stream at 6 fantasy points per game, as Jordan Bennington was still mired in his midseason malaise at this time. About a week later, New York had their week, which was the impetus for this entire discussion. You may recall from the December 16th short shifts, it was a very poor week. 2 wins, 3 losses, 9 goals for, which we covered in detail in our last segment on the topic, so you can listen for more detail there. And just for Lewis here, none of the Bash D, yes, including Braden Schneider, came close to our 3.5 fantasy points target. Not even Gavrikov could swing it. As I mentioned on this past Tuesday's edition of Short Shifts, he had 26 minutes per game, increased deployment with Adam Fox out, and he did absolutely nothing with it. Additionally, Laba, Sherry, Robertson, Gabe Perreault, Johnny Brodzinski, etc. would have done you dirty that week, and there were plenty of pivot options after those two first games on Monday and Tuesday, with 16 teams playing 3 games from the Wednesday to Sunday. So hopefully you got out from under those moves if you made them. We'll finish here where we started with the Carolina Hurricanes, who finished their latest 5-7 stretch just this past Sunday. Carolina went 2-3 last week with wins against the Rangers and Devils and losses to the Canadiens, Avalanche, and Penguins. They scored 17 goals last week, buoyed by that barn burner against the Canadiens where they scored 5 goals, as well as another 5-goal explosion against the Red Wings. It's a lot of the same names here under consideration as you might expect. Eric Robinson, Jackson Blake, Jordan Martinook, Jordan Stahl, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, although we do add Logan Stankoven and Taylor Hall to the mix as well. None of these players reached the average for forwards discussed today, as the scoring for last week was mostly buoyed by strong performances from Carolina's top line, Andrei Svechnikov, Sebastian Aho, and Nick Ehlers, who were responsible for about 60% of the total scoring just from the three of them. So there's not much available for these kind of streamer tier players. No Carolina defender reached our threshold for 3.5 fantasy points per game last week, although there were a few strong performances from Nikishin, from Keandre Miller, from Shane Gostisbehere. We won't count any of them, of course, because we're looking for the consistent stream here. And where the backup goalies are concerned, Freddie Anderson's struggles as the Carolina backup this season have been well documented, so we won't spend much time on him. Brandon Bussey has obviously taken the starter's role here with Pyotr Kochetkov out for the rest of the season, and despite a bit of a poor performance against Montreal where he let in 6 goals, bounced back and performed admirably against New Jersey and Dallas. But hey, you're not streaming this guy in. He is already 100% owned in Kakupfel. So, as I wind my way to a conclusion here after almost 6 hours of crunching the numbers, I'm left with the question, what does it all mean? Adding the 2025 to 2026 data to what we've already discussed, a few things become clear to me. Where forwards are concerned, in busy weeks, the scoring tends to be dominated by the elite players who get the most ice time. Duh. They're elite for a reason. It's not just that they're good at scoring, they usually are the best athletes with the best conditioning and the highest consistency. If you go down to the higher-end streamer options, you can definitely see some value from players on the periphery of the top six, like Mason McTavish or Jake Neighbors, reliable veterans like Braden Schenn, Vlad Nemestikov, Nino Niederreiter, and Jordan Stahl. Those can be decent targets and player archetypes in these 5-game weeks. Beyond that, you're praying for streamer luck from guys like Kevin Hayes, Juuso Parsonen, and Derek Brassard, who all exploded for short periods of time, but accomplished the bulk of their scoring in these hot streaks that happen to coincide with these busy weeks. For the defenders, the Bash D can certainly be of interest, as long as they play on the Carolina Hurricanes, of course. I'm joking a little bit here, but for every Neil Pionk or Radko Gudas or Colton Pareko and Justin Falk, who are considered the higher-end Bash options, you would have been disappointed by the Dylan Sandbergs, Braden Schneiders, Vlad Gavrikovs, Jacob Trubas, Matthias Ekholms, Ryan McDonoughs. I could just go on and on. So my recommendation here is to take known quantity Bash defenders and leave the sub-20-minute guys who bang occasionally alone. If there's one thing that's become absolutely clear to me here, it's you should go for a backup goaltender who can get 2 games in these 5-game weeks. You would have been very happy with 90% of the backup goaltenders featured in this segment, whether it was Kochetkov, Anderson prior to this season, or Takarski, Riddick and Brassois on Winnipeg, or even Mad Sogard, Danil Tarasov, Yoel Hofer, or Jonathan Quick, who I didn't mention earlier but certainly held his own with 5.5 fantasy points per game across his 2 5-game weeks. Obviously, buyer beware, not every backup goaltender is worth the ad, as was proven by this year's edition of Freddie Anderson or the Philadelphia goalies, but generally these backup goalies seem like a good play in these busy weeks. So how do we use this information moving forward? Well, you get the opportunity next week to try this out because the Edmonton Oilers have a 5-game week starting this Monday. It's going to be games 46 to 50 for them starting on Monday and going to Sunday next week. So obviously we're eliminating guys like McDavid and Draisaitl from this conversation to look at the lesser owned 12 to 17 minute guys. I'm not sure I'm interested in recommending Andrew Mangiapane, who may not even be on the team by this point given the trade rumors flying around, but he does fit the criteria of a reliable veteran who can point occasionally. Jack Roslovic is an interesting option, averaging 16 minutes a game and scoring occasionally. He might be able to turn in one of those reliable performances over the 5 games. Some guys that I would say fall into the avoid category would be Vasily Podkolzin, Matt Savoy, Adam Henrique, Matthias Janmark, Kasperi Kapanen, or Trent Frederick. They would most closely resemble the Noah Labas and Connor Sherrys that we don't want any part of in a week like this. For defenders, you have Matthias Ekholm, Jake Walman, and Darnell Nurse, who are likely owned. The next most used Bash defender would be Ty Emberson, who only plays 15 minutes a night, and as a result is not that interesting to me, in a similar way to Braden Schneider not being interesting to me with the Rangers before Christmas. We do have Connor Ingram and Calvin Pickard as the goaltending tandem here, and if they continue alternating as they have, we should see 3 games from Pickard and 2 from Ingram. I'd be comfortable with either guy as a stream, as the crease is a little up in the air there. If we fast forward 2 weeks, the Los Angeles Kings get their 5-7 opportunity. The stream targets for the Kings in this 12 to 16 minute range include Alex Laferriere, Trevor Moore, and Corey Perry. A lot of these guys have been reliable over the years, and so I would recommend all of them and say that you should just go with whoever's hot. I wouldn't be taking Warren Fogle, Alex Turcotte, Jeff Malott, and although Andre Kuzmenko has been seeing time on the power play, I expect him to come and go over a 5-game sample size, so maybe only go with him if there's nothing left and only if he's on that top power play. Mikey Anderson, Brian Dumoulin, Joel Edmondson, and Cody Ceci might be available to you, but they all remind me, again, more of a Braden Schneider than a Colton Parayko or a Justin Falk, so I'd probably leave those guys alone in free agency. None of them have really averaged more than 2 fantasy points per game this season, and so even with the extra ice time, I don't think they do much with it. In net, it's hard to know what the rotation would be at this point, but safe to say that Anton Forsberg would be an option with 2 games in this week. He's had some success in his career and is coming off some strong performances against Anaheim and Tampa Bay in the last few weeks, so I wouldn't hate taking the leap on him for 2 games. At the very least, he's likely to keep it under 3 goals a game and give them a chance to win. And finally, the pièce de résistance, finals week with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I know there's not much I can say to dissuade a fantasy manager from picking up whoever they can get on Pittsburgh if you're going for the Cupful Championship, but I'll try here. It's kind of hard to project who will be in the top 6 by that point with the Olympic break and trade deadline happening between now and then, so I'll just say I'm interested in Justin Brazo, Anthony Mantha, Yegor Chinnikov, Rutger McGroarty, and Ben Kindle this far out. I'm probably less interested in Ville Koivunen, Blake Lizotte, Tommy Novak, Kevin Hayes, or Noel Achari. Where defenders are concerned, Parker Weatherspoon has been strong recently and getting an increased role in the top 4 with Pittsburgh, so I might take a shot on him and leave the Jack St. Ivanese, Ryan Shays, and Brett Kulaks in free agency. And for goalies, I don't know. Go for it. It's the last week of the season, so who knows what could happen. So whether it's Joel Blomqvist, Stu Skinner, Artur Shelovs, or Sergei Mereshov, we've seen each of these guys turn in great performances at points, so just go for it. There are also a few more 5-7s to close out the season here, upcoming with Buffalo, the New York Islanders, Colorado Avalanche, Ottawa Senators, and Philadelphia Flyers getting in on the fun. I will probably bring those up on upcoming short shifts because this podcast is long enough as it is, and so keep an eye out for that information in the future. I hope you enjoyed this deep dive into the 5 games in 7 days phenomenon. I certainly enjoyed researching it for you and analyzing the reams and reams of data provided to me by John Bruno, who is the true MVP of this episode. He answered my frantic requests for more data or better data at all hours of the day and night. And so if you're talking to him, make sure you give him kudos for his excellent work on this segment here today. And if you enjoyed our show today, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron, where super supporters receive ad-free episodes and you can interact with Brian, Elon, the Short Shifts crew, John Bruno, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Check out gamedaytweets.com, as always, to get all the best info from Twitter, including team-by-team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart, and unlike me today, keep your shifts short.